grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes the scriptures don't quite help us get into the emotion of the moment as they're telling the story. So this is just an attempt to draw you into the emotion here in Matthew chapter 9. Travel with me. An old man, he's in a room, sitting in a chair. And once in a while, he gets up and he paces back and forth to help him recall clearly the events. Sitting nearby at a table is a young man. And on the table is a set of quills and an ink pot. Also is a roll of parchment. And an oil lamp is setting on the table too. The young man is dutifully writing the dictations of the old man. And great esteem is showed for the old man. The wonder of the story being told to him to transcribe down on that parchment just burns into the young man's heart. It seems too fantastic to be true. Yet it is most certainly true. Taking a break, the young man asks the old man, "Did he really calm the sea?" "Yes, with just a word." "Did he really touch and heal the leper?" "Yes, with such tender compassion." "Did that herd of pigs really run down the hill into the water and drown?" "And yes, and it was a huge herd." "Did he really say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven'?" A twinkle along with a tear fills the man's eyes. "Yes, and that's what is so wonderful. Forgiveness." And then the old man goes on, "Let me tell you about the forgiveness shown to me." And the young man picks up his quill and dips it into the ink and gets ready to start writing. No, just put the quill down. I want you to listen. The emotions are overwhelming me too much to dictate to you the events. I want you to listen and learn the source of my love and the reason why I'm having you write these things down. You see, the day started just like any other day. Get up in the morning, gather my quills, my ink, and my parchments to keep the records. Grab the strong box and head to my place in the market. Taking my seat, the people start to line up. The crowd, they really don't want to see me. They're in line waiting because they have to see me. There's no other reason, you see. I'm a hated man. Think of all the bad names you can call somebody. I was called them all, even worse at times. I was an outcast. Teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they would point at me as I walked by and they'd shout at the top of their lungs, "Sinner!" There was no hope for me. I was not welcome at the temple. I could go there and pray to God for forgiveness, but the way the Levites would treat me, I often felt worse when I left the temple than before. I was hurting. I had lost all hope that God might care about me. There I was, in my seat, fulfilling my obligation to the Romans, collecting taxes and making my living. Each person would wait their turn in line and then step forward and say his name. I'd look up his tax and he would pay me the tax and my fee. Then, a shadow fell across my table. As the next person stepped forward, he leaned over the table and looked me in the eyes. Oh, his look, it just shot through to me, to my soul. No anger, no hate, no malice. The kind of looks I usually was given. His eyes, they carried such compassion for me. I really can't explain. But love seemed to reach into me from his eyes and just pull me to him. Tears well up in the old man's eyes, and the emotion of the moment from long ago is freshly relived. Then he leaned over and said, "Follow me." I got up and followed. Even though it was the middle of the day and many more were in line to pay their taxes, I got up, left my work, and followed. The rest of the afternoon I was with him. As dinner time was nearing, I invited him and his disciples to my house. I invited my friends too. My house was just full of people. I set out a great feast. Nothing but the best. The feast was fabulous. And my friends were enjoying themselves. Pharisees. They gathered at the door of my house and stared. Disgust was on their faces. According to them, my home was filled with sinners. Each of my friends had been called sinner by them at one time or another. We were vilified by them. Then I saw a Pharisee call over a disciple and ask in a very loud voice, "Why does your teacher eat with them? They're sinners." That is capital S-I-N-N-E-R. Hearing what the Pharisee said, the teacher got up. The teacher came over to me, placed his hand on my shoulder, and with a reassuring touch, he touched me. And then he looked at the Pharisees and told them that they needed to learn that mercy and compassion are what God desires. The living God desires them more than sacrifices. Then the teacher turned to me and looked into my eyes, and love just poured into me as he said he came for sinners. My soul just melted. My fear that I would never be loved by God or accepted, they just melted away. Here was Jesus loving me, pouring out compassion for me, a tax collector, a sinner. I thought I was lost forever and God hated me. That moment I learned how he loved me. And he always loved me. Oh, the joy that filled my soul. I left all to follow him. All to be with him. Tears streaming down his face. The old man, Matthew, slumps into his chair. The young man is confused. "Why are you crying?" The old man says, "Don't you understand? My sins are forgiven. Jesus sought me out and showed me mercy and compassion. Our God is merciful and compassionate." A moment with Matthew, as he recalls that moment Jesus called him. A moment expanded upon this morning with drama that may move you to see our God is merciful and compassionate. The living God we worship has mercy and compassion for each of us and for the whole world. God loves you as he loves the whole world. Have you come to know the mercy and compassion of God? To really know it? Or do you feel your sins are too great to be forgiven? Do you feel there's no way that the Father loves you and wants you to be with him and his Son Jesus forever? Does shame have such a hold on your soul that forgiveness seems impossible for you? Impossible to be true for you? Many people see God as unjust, full of anger, just waiting for a reason, any opportunity to condemn them and send them to hell. God is just a big meanie, and he acts like a spoiled brat if we don't do what he commands us to do. Sort of like the Queen of Hearts in Alice of Wonderland. Cross her, and it'll be, off with your head. This picture of God as vindictive is in too many people's lives. And it's a lie from the devil, from the pit of hell. I ask you, would a spiteful, malicious, and cruel, petty God send a Savior? Really reflect on that. If God wants to send you to hell, why would he ever send his son to be the deliverer for your soul? Why would he send the son to be Savior, to redeem the lost, to redeem your soul? Why would God even make a way for heaven to be opened in the first place if his love didn't want you there with him? You see, the Son is a Savior who came for sinners. Writing to the young pastor Timothy, Paul writes these words that can be life-transforming for you too. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul acknowledges, of whom I am the worst. Highlight that verse in your Bible. Right in the margin of your Bible, it's true and it's for me. That verse is full of truth that you can completely trust your very life on. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. To save. Then highlight 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, as Paul reflects upon the mercy shown him. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Jesus saved Paul. That blasphemer, that church destroyer, that wicked man. His mercy saved Paul. His compassion changed Paul. It's for me. Mercy was shown to Paul. Mercy was shown to Matthew. And mercy is available to you. Now, what will you do? This part of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, starting at verse 9, it also brings us to a time of response. Matthew could have stayed sitting at that tax booth, generating a very large income, or leave it to follow Jesus. Here's a moment of decision. We know Matthew followed. Matthew did not go back to the tax booth the next day. Instead, he became a disciple and followed Jesus. He left his very prosperous position to pursue Jesus. Matthew chapter 10 lists the apostles sent out by Jesus with authority to heal. guess whose name is included in that list of 12? Yes, Matthew, the tax collector, is on that list. This morning, if it hasn't happened yet in your life, this morning, this very moment, may you begin to grasp the compassion of God for you. The mercy of God for you. That mercy will give you eternal life. And along with that, a deeper understanding of forgiveness. Forgiveness is there for you. And then with that goes the forgiveness you have received, you are to show others. Because the forgiveness that is for you is for others too. Jesus came to save sinners. Follow Jesus. Follow him. Know the fullness of what it means to be redeemed by him. To have that forgiveness cover all the sin and shame in your life. The forgiveness he purchased on the cross of Calvary for you and the whole world. It's powerfully good news. Powerfully good news. And it will change your life. This morning, if it's never gotten a hold of you yet, may the compassion of God just so enfold you that you know when you leave these doors this morning, I am forgiven for Christ's sake and his sake alone, because the work on the cross was complete. It was finished. It is all done. And you are redeemed. Yes. You are redeemed. And what will your response be? Will you follow him? Or will you ignore this most incredible gift? Matthew followed. Saul followed and was given the name Paul. Peter, James, Andrew, John, they followed. You go on through the list of history, how many have followed? And they have eternal life. And you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may you know his love today, his mercy, and his compassion, and give your all to follow. You have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. Amen.